Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you're here with us. We know there is a word from the Lord for you tonight, and we're looking forward to getting into this word. Amen.
Amen.
But before we do so, we want to get started with our announcement. So, I digress and turn it over to my lovely wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Prophetess.
God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. In the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join yours truly for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast that we have live at www.ctkr.org. We invite you to join us there, amen, and hear more about us, learn more about us, and follow this ministry, amen, and let us know how this broadcast is blessing your life, amen. Also want to let you know that on Facebook, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny, we have our Facebook page. Like us there, amen. Give us your praise reports, amen, even your prayer requests so someone can touch and agree with you and believe in God for you on your behalf. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Come on and let us look to the Lord for prayer. Excuse me. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise your name right now. We glorify your name right now. We extol your name right now. We just love you, God. We thank you for this day that you have made, for you have made us and not we ourselves. God, we give your name all praise. We give your name all glory. We give your name all honor. We thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your strength. God, we thank you for insight. God, we thank you for salvation and deliverance right now in Jesus' name. God, even as we, your people, come before you and we humble ourselves at the throne of grace this evening, Father, we ask that you will forgive us from all iniquity. Wash all of our sins, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. Wash us in the blood of Jesus and make us white as snow. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would wash our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits in the blood. Father, even now as we come, Father, we ask that you would put in us a spirit of obedience. Help us to obey this 2014 and forward, that we will begin to walk out your kingdom assignment. God, that we will no longer make excuses. God, that we would not look to the left or to the right, but we will stand steadfast in this season, in this dispensation, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as the apostle comes, Father, charge his lips of clay. Give him the right now words for this season. Father, we ask that you would give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding as he begins to speak forth your word tonight. God, we thank you for lives that are being changed, delivered, saved, and set free. We thank you, God, that you are helping us to stand firm in this hour. We give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. Thank you for allowing the Spirit of God to use you. This evening, we want to go into the Word and pick back up where we have left off. We're in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Amen. And I begin to take apart a passage of scripture there that has some profound, if you will, ramifications for those of us who are children of God. I think too often we think that God is winking. He's not paying attention, and he's not holding our feet to the fire as it relates to some things that are kingdom focused. Amen. God understands. I always wanted to do this all my life. I always wanted to be, I always wanted to have, I always wanted to show people that I could. And, you know, honestly, God is not into what you're trying to show people concerning yourself. He's giving you an assignment, and of that assignment, you know, your life that you live is not your own. You're bought with a price. I was sharing with somebody, some people sitting at dinner on Sunday, amen, that we look past the terms belong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that we are servants of the Most High God. And the thing about being a servant of the Most High God, it doesn't exclude me from being a child of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that means that I can walk with my head up knowing that whatever I do, the Father, my Father, my Heavenly Father, is pleased with me, and it's his being pleased with me that allows me to walk out miracles and deal with certain other things in my life. I know that God has something great for me. Amen. I also realize that it's my responsibility to mature, amen, into those things. And God gives us assignments, and you if you've listened to this broadcast before, heard it, go back in the archives, you'll notice that there's a thing that keeps going through the broadcast, and that simply is that God has given us an assignment, and we must get down to doing that. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John, the fourth chapter, if you will, simply says something that is really good in the 34th verse. Amen. He simply says, and this is Jesus speaking, amen. He says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Okay? So if there's a job and assignment that God has given us, then there is not just your half-hearted approval of the yes that you give him. It is the wholehearted commitment that drives the integrity behind that yes. Amen? It is demonstrated in the character of the lives you live in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Constantly, all the time, you're living a life that will prepare you, amen, to be the proper representation of Christ in the earth and to do the work that he's called you to do. Amen.
Yes, yes.
And if you are living any thing that is less than that, you need to repent and ask God to help you. He didn't call you to mediocrity.
That's true now.
You see that? These works that I do, you shall do. Amen. And greater works. That means you have to go above and beyond. Amen. I share how there are some things that we have to look at. Elijah,
mm-hmm.
amen, chose Elisha. And Elisha, after he received his training and the mantle, did twice the miracles of his predecessor. Amen. And Jesus wants us to do not only what he's done, but greater. Mm-hmm. These works that I do, you shall do also. That means at the very least, I should be casting out devils and healing should manifest and we should be miracle signs and wonders. That should be manifesting. I shared it before. Why don't miracles manifest? We stop trusting in God. And if your faith is not in God and his abilities, then you can't see a miracle because you're not operating in faith. Amen? See, we have people who are agnostic and atheistic and paganistic walking around describing for you what you should be believing and why, based on their common sense. Oh, it just appears to me. I mean, it's just impossible if you would just look at it that we could have the original or have an experience. So all of this is symbolic if you look at it. And you know, you can never really get to, hold on, pardon me, my brother, my sister. Mm-hmm. I've tried them for myself. And we've experienced the power of God.
Yeah.
Moving in miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen?
Yes, yes.
See, if your praise and your experience have not taken you to a place where you have been slain in the spirit, I'm not talking about people manipulating and pushing you down and,
right,
and stuff like that. I'm talking about where time and everything else seems to disappear. You don't even care. Amen. Then you, when you come back to yourself after having an experience with God, people have to tell you how long you were there. Amen.
That's true.
And what was going on with you. Amen. Jesus in his statement, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, is saying that my satisfaction is doing my assignment. Brothers and sisters, we can't get to satisfaction until we get to our assignment. Amen. I don't care how you try to skate around it. I don't care what other thing you try to come up with that will prevent you or use as a excuse for why you don't or why you won't. After all is said and done, there's an assignment you got to do. Get to it. Stop making excuses. Shoulder to the plow. Thank you, Father, for strength, and get it done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, just look at this. Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 14th verse. And I like it because you can't dance around it. Jesus here is speaking, and I think if anyone understands and knows what heaven is like, it will be the one who came from heaven. Amen. So here he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Amen. So you're not even operating with your own stuff. Isn't that interesting that God would trust us with kingdom resources to do a kingdom assignment that he has already delegated to us? And because he's in charge of it, we should not have excuses but successes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants, and delivered his goods to them. Amen. Notice their own servants, his goods. Amen. And to each, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, let me just stop right there because I want you to understand something. God will not give you something, first of all, that you are not mature and ready to handle. Amen? Because when you get it, the first thing that will happen is if you can't handle it, it will overwhelm you. Amen? And instead of you moving forward, you begin to make steps backwards. The excuse you'll use is that, I didn't know how to handle that. Amen. So what happens is as you begin to pray and ask God to help you, and as you begin to give him a yes, then God begins to give you short assignments, if you will. Mm-hmm. Amen. Notice that the homework you do as a child, in kindergarten, first, second grade, it's nothing like the assignments that you do in sixth to eighth grade. Right. And the assignments you do sixth to eighth grade is nothing like you do when you get up into a freshman in college. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And even as a freshman in college, those assignments are nothing like when you get to the master's or the doctorate level. Amen? So according to your level, according to your ability, according to your ability, amen, at certain levels, God gives you assignments that will lead to the next level. Amen? Huh? I thank God that I'm still not drawing with large crayons trying to stay between the lines, because that's as far as I'm matriculated. Amen? Thank God that he has allowed me to grow up. Amen? Now, notice I said allowed me. Amen? But some of you, God has allowed you to grow up, but you simply won't. Maturity is what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's what we're talking about right now. Amen?
Amen?
So when God gives you something, he gives it to you according to your ability.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? And when you have the ability to say yes to God, at the level of your yes and the integrity of it, he releases to you not only the assignment, but the resources to successfully complete it. You see that? So stop asking God for the mega ministry when you don't want to go to noonday prayer. He can't trust you to successfully fast. Halfway through your fast, you're making an excuse. It's hard. I had to quit. Wait a minute. What kind of mamby-pamby stuff are we doing nowadays, talking about this is God and he love us and he understand I tried. Wait a minute. It's not the trying. It's the completing. It is the blessing of obedience that God rewards you for. Somebody going to get upset. Huh? So if God is speaking to you and telling you to do something and you want greater from God, give God a greater yes. Amen? Look here. Romans 12 and 1. We're going to read down to about the sixth verse or so. Amen. It says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. And that's where the problem is. Too many of us trying to look like our neighbors and look like the world out here instead of trying to look like him. Huh? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For I say, third verse, through the grace given to me, Lord, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of a measure of faith. Now, going back to this, Matthew 25 and 14, you see this? He meted out, or he gave to each one of them according to their ability.
Yes.
You see here in Romans, he says, for as in the third verse, it says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You see? So your faith may not be at the point where you can see a miracle and believe for it. You know? But God will help you to grow your faith. I used to hear people say, you don't have the faith to believe God to heal a headache. And you know what? You may not have faith for that. But you may trust God for greater things or for other things, and you can see God move there. You just haven't seen him move in the body enough right now to have faith greater than the headache. Amen? See, I learned a long time ago, people are on different levels, amen, and different development.
But God knows your schedule. God knows your assignment. And he knows when you need to come up in certain areas. So you'll see that your assignment or your process or your education, spiritual education, is specific to your assignment. Amen?
Amen.
You may never need to trust God for healing, so that may not be your strong suit. Amen?
Right, right, right.
Huh? Can I bring it to a natural sense here? As a musician, I play keyboard, piano, organ. Amen? If it got keys on it, I'm okay. Amen? I haven't really tried that accordion thing, but I'm quite sure if I needed to, I could pretty much work something out on that. Amen? But the point that I'm making is, when it comes down to a guitar, my fingers don't work like that. Amen. I've been trying to figure out how to get my three fingers to make those chords and bar the chord. And I've been stretching my fingers out, curved hands, so long as I played that they don't want to come in flat and scrunched, if you will. It don't work well for me. Amen. So whenever I try to do it, it works against me. In other words, that's not my forte. That's not on my agenda. Amen. And some of you are trying to figure out why you are so successful in one area, but you can't seem to work in another area. Well, guess what? It's because you're not supposed to be there. Amen.
Right.
I heard somebody say it before. God gives you assignment, and you start running the race, and you try to go to the finish line and get to the goal. Stay in your lane. Amen. I wish we could get more people to understand the importance of staying where God positioned you. Listen. If everybody tries to run over to the right side of the ship based on how the ship is developed or how the ship is balanced, we could cause the ship to list to a side. Amen? Huh? What is that? Well, I want to be over here because it seems like the best side. Listen, just because it seems like the best thing don't mean that's your place.
Amen.
Stay where God put you. That way you can get what God has for you. Amen? See, We always looking for an easier, a better way, amen, a shortcut, amen. But we refuse to go through development because it costs you something. It's a process. I gotta take down. I gotta back up. I gotta pray. I gotta fast. I gotta lay before God. I gotta deny myself. Let me say that again. I gotta deny myself, amen. And you've been waiting for people to recognize you so you can walk out grand and wonderful. And God is trying to get you to understand it's not about your glory. It's about his glory. We can't get to God in his glory because we're so busy trying to get our own. Oh, I know this ain't popular. I ain't trying to be. I'm trying to be right. Amen. Amen.
They said, don't
folks, they're trying to be saved. Right, yes. That's how I say it. I don't care if you like me. I'm trying to be saved. Brother, sister, I'm going to make it. Amen. And guess what? I'm going to make it. Amen. And I'm not making it up there because I'm just trying to make it myself. I need to take some people with me, and I understand that that is an intricate part of my assignment. Amen. So then when he begins to speak here, he says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Amen? Mm-hmm. So you're not in this by yourself, and your actions do have effect. Amen. And repercussions on others. Amen. Because we're one body fitly joined together. Amen. You see that? Then the sixth verse simply says this: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You see that? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So then we begin to see then that there is a responsibility here of you not just walking around being grand and wonderful with the gift that you have. Look at this as we go back to Matthew, the 25th chapter. It was the master's servants, those that belonged to him. Amen. Mm-hmm. And of those master's servants, he gave them his good, his goods, not something that they had or belonged to them, but something that he gave them use of.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, what has God given you use of that really belongs to him? And what are you doing with the responsibility? Okay? To each one according to his own abilities. Yeah. And immediately he went on a journey. Amen. We know that Christ delegated authority to us, gave us assignments. Amen. And then he ascended up. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit was released, empowering us. So that we could do the work that was given us. He is the helper. Huh? He is the paraclete. Amen. He is the one who instructs us and empowers us so that we can do what we need to do. He is the comforter. Amen.
Yeah.
So even in your hardship, he didn't leave you alone. He gave you help. Amen. You see that? 16th verse. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So then that means that the one who had been given much should have a greater work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Y'all see this? Amen. Because what we have is we have people who are walking around saying, well, you know, I ain't got but so much and I ain't like them over there and they in mega ministry. Stop comparing yourself to people like Morton and Jakes and all the rest of them, Saddleback and all that. And here you are, you're doing a work for God at, according to the ability that your ability and the grace that he's giving you. And you're comparing yourself with others who have different grace. Somebody needs to catch this. Because you're disobedient to God and moving forward with what he told you to do because in your eyes it's not big enough for your recognition. Hello, somebody. And God wants you to know that he's going to hold you accountable to what he gave you. And he gave you what you have the ability to handle. Stop looking above your ability and deal with the assignment that God has given you at this time. Amen. We're going to see as we're going down through this that your faithfulness, amen, will reward itself. Amen. People ask me, they say, Apostle, how can you deal with the ministry and then go over and play for other churches and do other things? And I said, listen, the reason why I go play for those churches because we're not in the competition. They don't have a musician. We do service on Saturdays. The Lord has given me at this time. So we're doing service on Saturday. That frees me up on Sunday to go and help somebody else with their kingdom assignment. Amen? That allows me, Lord, that allows me to establish kingdom rapport with others who are doing the work trying to establish and trying to expand the kingdom of God. You got to ask yourself, if God has given you a gift, a talent, an ability, why are you sitting around and won't help nobody with kingdom agendas? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. Well, I don't know. They wouldn't come over here. God is not going to ask me if they came over here. He's going to ask me why I didn't go over and help them when I saw the need. See, I got to answer God for my own self. You see that? And there's no use. The worst thing in the world is for me to be sitting over there, accomplished musician, and listen to somebody who can't put 2 notes together, let alone can't make a chord. And if the key changed, they really lost. And they sitting there looking frustrated, playing all kind of wrong beats and everything else, trying to look busy over there because they don't want nobody to say nothing. Listen, if you can help them, go over and help them. Amen? When I go over and I deal with a situation like that, always try to encourage them. I say, you're doing good. This is what you need to do. Hit this note right here when you do that. Then, oh, yeah, yeah. It helps them. And that one time did I go over there and say, ugh, what you doing? That ain't how you do it. See, you know, we have to let people mature. I thank God for, and I'm going to give a shout out to my music teacher, the one who showed me, who used to come over to the church and sit on a Hammond organ and allowed me to sit there. He used to sit there and he used to always put up on the organ butterscotch candy and the brats. Brats or brats, whatever it was, brats, butterscotch candy. And he used to have them sitting up there and he said, you play better with a butterscotch in your mouth. And then he would begin to play, and he began to show me how to play with finesse and how to back the preacher up and how to stay up under him and how not to try to outshine the word by, playing with finesse. Brian Thomas, amen. Yeah. Those of you in Toledo, Ohio and other places know that name very well. But he was the one who took time with me and made sure that I learned my craft. Learned my skill. And not one time did he ever come and tell me, what you doing? Get out of the way. You don't know what you're doing. He sat there and he showed me when he did a run or something, he would look over and see me trying to figure out what he did, and he took time and showed it to me.
Yep.
When I deal with other people, I do the same to them. You know, because we're not here to belittle you and destroy you. We're trying to encourage you. Amen. And when I encourage you, the Lord turns around and sends somebody to encourage me where I am. Amen. Some of you have arrived and been there a while. Huh? That's why can't nobody tell you nothing, can't nobody show you nothing, but your ministry is suffering from your pig-headedness. Amen. Yes, I said that. Amen. Huh? Because you can't listen to nobody so that you can learn, because you've already arrived. God is trying to tell you that you haven't arrived. You've only been given a gift, a talent, a grace according to your ability. Amen. And if you're not faithful with that to do an assignment he gave you, guess what? That's all you got. And even that, well, we're going to see what happens with that. So the Bible says here in the 16th verse, then to the one who had received 5 talents, he went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. 17th verse, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Amen? Again, what I said before is at the level of your ability, be successful. If God gave you 5, strive to do 5 talent ministry. If God gave you 2, strive to do 2 talent ministry. 2 talent, don't look at the 5, get discouraged and say, I can't do 5, so I ain't going to do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Do what God gave you to do with integrity. Amen. See? And then we see here in the 18th verse where some people are today. God called you to do something, and the first thing you did was turn around and get fearful and scared of it, talking about, I don't know if I could. I don't know. Lord, I told you to go witness to somebody. You waiting on somebody else to go do it. Lord told you to step out on his word. You still waiting on somebody to come with the 3rd, the 4th, the 7th confirmation prophetic word. You go in different places. Soon as somebody start talking prophetically and you see they can see, you trying to make your way to the bathroom and everything else. Come back out at the offering when they speak in cars and everything else. Listen, brothers and sisters, all that foolishness is your childishness, amen, showing up. God is trying to get you to see that his assignment for you will get you the car. It'll get you the house. It'll get you the finance. It'll get you the status. It'll get you the resources. You won't have to go beg and borrow and do everything crazy. God will make sure that you have what you need to have when you are obedient and going forward towards the assignment he's giving you. God will encourage you on the way, and the resources are there because of your obedience. Amen. Look at this one. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground. That means it sounds good. Mm-hmm. He dug in the ground. Lord, he about to plant a seed. Woo! No, he wasn't. Uh-huh. What was he doing? And hid his Lord's money. See, that talent that we're talking about, you notice here, it went from being talent to money. Yeah. Y'all see that? Because I give him my ability, but I'm stingy in my offering. guess what? This is incriminating. Everyone knows in business that it takes capital to run a business. Huh? And if it take all that, then what do we need to be doing for the business of the kingdom? Look at your neighbor and say, no less. Amen. See, because we think, well, you know, the Lord will make a way, touch somebody's heart. Brother, sister, he gave it to you and touched your heart. But your flesh, seeing what you have, trying to hold on to it. See, we got to get past this this Jericho, past Jericho they went to Ai. And at Ai, you know, God said, listen, this is what I want. They mess up at Jericho, so they have no power at Ai. Some of you are failing right now asking the Lord, Lord, what happened? I was just living on top and doing this, and you have blessed me, and now here's my health, and the bank is calling, and my job is acting up, and guess what? What did you do at Jericho? Lord, I wish I could preach this.
They had power at Jericho.
Huh? What did you do at Jericho concerning what God gave you to do? You saw all of this, and here you go. Your flesh got involved. Your sinful human nature got involved. And instead of leaving what was God's and what was sacred, you begin to touch what was his anointed. Huh? He said, leave all of this. This belongs to me. Mm-hmm. Knowing that the rest of the land was his, but the first fruit, oh God, belong to God. And as he went out and began to take a little bit of that, ain't nobody going to see it. Guess what? It was the thing that cursed the rest of the campaign. And we have to understand, God is not winking at any of this stuff. Amen? God calls us to an assignment, and God's looking for obedience. And we have to be obedient to him. Amen? So the assignment that he gave, when he gave them these talents, he gave them according to their ability. Amen? And needless to say, some people want more talent, but they refuse to go through the process to develop their ability. You see that? So if you haven't developed past one, and he only gave you one, it's because he knew that with that one, that was going to be a challenge for you. Your eyes are big, but your dedication is shallow. Huh? You got big dreams of what you want to do, but after all is said and done with those big dreams, you have little dedication to the process to bring it to pass. Mm. And that's what God is trying to challenge in us today. You see that? So look what happened. 18th verse, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. It is the excuse that I got something, but I ain't doing nothing with it. Why aren't you doing nothing with it? I don't know. Your faith is not tied to your actions. See, the five could have turned around and said, I don't know if I'm going to make this five, but I'm going to have to do something with it. But he went out and he made five. The one with two, he could have sat back and said, ooh, if I lose these two, I know how my master is. But yet and still, he coupled his resource with this faith and he made two more. Mm-hmm. The one with one didn't have faith in his own abilities and sat down and hid in the ground what he got. And it didn't come up as a harvest. And let me just say this right now. Some of you are sowing into some ground that is not the right ground, which is why it can't come up in a harvest, because the ground is already cursed. Amen. It is a ground of disobedience. It is a ground of excuses. It is a ground of anything but what God said. And when you're waiting on God to validate personal likes, proclivities, propensities, huh? You waiting on God to wink his eye and turn the other way and pat you on the back and say, well, I know you trying. Listen, he called us to obedience. We're called to holiness. There is a lifestyle that we have to live. Amen? Huh? So we see that there are gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us, But he's given them the graces. He's given them to us according to our ability.
Uh-huh.
You see that? According to a measure of faith. According to the grace that God has given. You see this?
Mm.
It's spoken too many places in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Stay at the level that God has you at while he's developing you. Down the road, your increase will come. At this level, you're learning the lessons that will keep you from failing at a next higher level. Amen? If you don't learn how to color with crayons, you're going to mess up with markers. Mm-hmm. Amen? If you don't learn how to write with a pencil, you're going to tear up with a pen. Amen? See, so what's going on is while you're dealing with that pencil, you can make a mistake, erase it, and try to get it right. That's why kids don't learn how to write with pens until they get higher up in education. See, we got to learn that God is not going to give you something, as I said before, time. Amen? 21st, amen. Matthew 25 and 20. It says, so he, well, let's go back to 19 first so we can tie it together. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And there's a day when God's going to come and challenge you based on what he's giving you to see what you have done with his resources. The assignment that he's giving you, don't think that he's going to, well, Lord, I did a lot of stuff. What's the Bible say?
And the work shall be tried by the fire.
That's it, huh? If we go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, it says, many will come. Okay, Lord, I did this, that, and other in your name. I cast out. He's going to say, depart. Okay? You did it, but you didn't do it according to what I asked you to do. See, God could ask you to go over to Africa right now, and you talking about, well, I ain't never been out the country. I don't know if I want to do that. If you're like me, when I went to Africa for the first time, I went over to the health department and told them where I was going and everything, and they started taking out these big needles.
blood.
And my wife would tell you, well, I'm not a fan of a needle, period. Mm. But I had to get 9 shots for inoculation to go over into there before the United States will give me clearance to travel to that land. I had to get inoculated so that when I went over there, amen, and this whole thing will preach by itself too, amen, when I went over there, I wouldn't pick up something in Africa and Kenya and bring back here to those who are not now inoculated against it, amen. What are you saying? There are certain things that we don't deal with anymore here in the United States. We have all but wiped it out because from an early age, we have inoculated our children. Amen. Mm-hmm. So they don't deal with polio and certain other things. Right. But in other lands, huh? They haven't been inoculated against it. Polio is still there. Amen. There are still other diseases that are over there. So when you go over, you're in that company. Amen. When you come back here, if you're not careful, you'll bring that back here. And people will start getting sick from polio. Is it because we haven't conquered it? No. It's because we haven't been introduced to it based on the fact that we have inoculated ourselves against it so long ago. Amen. I thought it was crazy that I had to get the same shot that I had as a child. Mm-hmm. But they said, listen, it's been out of your system so long that it could strike you as if you've never been inoculated.
Wow.
Some of you are walking around dealing with some stuff right now that you have been done with a long time ago. But because you let your prayer life fly, you let your guard down, it gets close to you. And not only you become affected by it, but people around you. Amen? I wish I could go off there where I want to go, but we got to stay with this lesson so we can get done. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to get us to understand that he is coming to settle the account. And what he's giving you, you're going to have to give an account for. Amen? So let's see here. What happens with this? Because I told you, at the level that you are at now, God begins to deal with you to make sure that at this level here, huh, you can operate in kingdom principles and integrity. And as you begin to do so, then what he does is he begins to reward you. See, you're trying to get to that level before you've been tried here. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who has gone through quality control know that they test you well beyond your operating level. Amen. So God is testing you here before you get to that operating level. Because when you get up to that level, the standard has to remain.
Yeah.
You have to stand. You can't get up there and say, now that I have more resources, I have a problem with this. I never dealt with it in my life. We don't have time to be reading about you in the paper and seeing all this other stuff happen to you, people finding your body in hotels and stuff in precarious situations because your flesh was never brought under subjection and you never went through the process at the lower level. You just came in blazed out on glory. Huh? You need to go through some things, amen, and help develop your character. See, amen. I thank God that when we were starting the church and going through some things back in 2002, that we had to deal with some issues, amen. It was interesting at the church, amen, that we had to deal with commercial utility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you, some of y'all talking about these big church buildings. Okay. We had a wonderful church building.
You sure did.
But the gas was $1,500
a month.
The electric could easily be $700-$800 a month. Huh? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we was bringing in people. We did the offering, and I would go in my pocket and give people money out my pocket to make sure that they had seed to sow. Because they need to learn the principle. Mm-hmm. That means that when that $800 and that $1,500 had to be paid, guess who was paying it?
Yep.
So guess what was happening at my house? We came to church to make sure that there were lights on and gas on and stuff like that. But at my house, Edison had came by. Amen. The electric company had came by and said, we'll see you when you bring some money in. See, I'm glad that I went through those things back then. Because they taught me the lesson of priority. Amen. And as I began to deal with it, then I learned that there are some things that we have to go through in dealing with this gospel. If I turn away from God's house to make sure my house together, then God will allow that to happen, but then turn around and see my house go under. Every time I took care of God's house before my house, God caused me to go up higher in my house. Amen. God increases that job. God offers for other things. God always allowed us to go up. Amen. But I had to be tried. Am I running after that or am I pursuing after God? What was the assignment he gave me? What am I doing with the talent and the gift he gave me? Mm-hmm. And as long as I focused on that, God kept me moving forward. You see that? Amen. So I have to look at that. Thank God I went through. Because I know now that there are certain things that I have to dedicate to, certain things I have to be integral about, because it's about God's glory. Amen? And thank God the lights are never turned off. Thank God the gas is never turned off. We never get to a situation where it's tight and we got to try to figure out how we're going to make it. God has made a way for us, and he has continually did it so. I haven't worked a 9-to-5 job since 2008. Amen? And yet and still, God has kept us, amen, and we have more now than we had when I was working all that back then. Yeah. Amen. God is so faithful, amen. I want you all to know it's not because I'm out profiling money out of people's pockets, amen. We refuse to do so. If you a prophet and you think that the word that God gave you to give to somebody has a price tag on it, you're working in divination. That God never called us to that. Amen. You can't find it in scripture. I don't care how you try to twist it up. If the Holy Spirit gave it to you, freely you have received, freely you give. Amen. He'll reward you for your obedience. You don't have to hold the prophecy hostage. Amen. Trying to get some money out of it because they're going to honor the gift. No, you honor God, and God bless those who honor the gift. Stop trying to hold the ministry up based on your personal desire for wealth. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:6. Amen. You need 6 and 5. You need to read that. Amen. Huh? And get that in your spirit if that's where you are. Repent before God and ask him to forgive you and then walk this thing out. He gave you that for a reason, and it's not for your personal gain. Amen? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be doing the work for the kingdom. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's read this so we won't run out of time. Here, Matthew 25 and 20. It says, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents. In other words, he didn't gain 5 from the 5 that he had that wasn't his to begin with. Mm-hmm. He brought those 5 that he had received and also brought all that he had gained because he was faithful with his ability. Amen? You see that? So he brought the other 5 too. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Mm-hmm. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me just say this here because you have to understand something, as I said before. Where you are, God is testing you for the next level.
All right.
Are you faithful over the few things? Mm-hmm. If God has given you a ministry and in your ministry there's only 3-4 people, are you still preaching to them like it's 300-400? Or are you trying to just give them a little bit talking about, well, when we get to 300-400, ooh, y'all should see me go. Listen, we should see you go if you standing in the mirror. If it's just you in the mirror and the dog looking at you little side-eye trying to figure out why you making all that noise, you should be preaching to yourself and the dog. Amen? Preach to the goldfish to leap up out the
bowl.
Amen? Huh? The Bible says in Mark 16:15, amen, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every amen. Creature. That means that if you waiting on your audience, guess what? You don't have a word to speak. See, this gospel isn't for those who are trying to get popularity. It's for those who understand the assignment and have the burden of the mantle on them. Amen? It is what compresses you down. It is what drives you. Jeremiah said, I said to myself, I wasn't going to say another word. I was going to sit here and not say something. But inside of me, it was like fire burning. See, you have to understand when you have a true call on your life, you're not going to be able to sit back there and watch things going sideways. It's going to drive you back up to the forefront.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So you have to do what God called you to do and be happy about it. Amen? What else did it say? It says, 22nd verse, he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. Same thing. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Going back to what I said before, if God gives you the ability, gives you talent based on your ability, 5 talents, then do a 5-talent work. If he gives you a 2-talent, then do a 2-talent work. But make sure whatever he gives you, you do it to the best of your ability because he gave you talents according to your ability. Amen. You see that? If God didn't give you Jake's influence and business savvy in that, stop trying to be Jake's and be who you are. We need some Jims and Bobs and Franks and Freds and Joyce's and Sally's too. Amen? Everybody don't have to be a TD. Huh? Everybody don't have to be one of these other great ones out here. We're looking at them, and as we begin to go forward, we're starting to see some of these theologies coming out. Amen? And we're starting to call foul. Mm-hmm. Huh? The hyper grace and prosperity theology being preached to the masses to bring in mass money and not to incriminate people. Well, you know, once you got saved, you're going to be saved. The blood covers what you, the blood covers what it's applied to. Stop telling people they don't have to repent for sin. See, all this foolishness. Well, you know, once you got saved, that blood covered you for this sin and for the sin you're going to commit, so you don't even have to say anything. Why are you asking God for forgiveness? Because that sin is already covered. That sin is not covered. Amen? Sin is not covered until the blood is applied to it. And thank God for the efficacious properties of that blood that it works every time it is applied. So if it cleansed you the first time, it's going to cleanse you the second time. You got to do it. It has to be done. You can't skate around there talking about, I get a preacher in my hand. You shook somebody's hand, but you didn't give your life to Christ. Amen. Give your life to Christ and then live a godly life. Amen. That's what you're called to. Amen. So whether you're five or you're two talents, there is a reward that leads you to the next level up. But let's look at this one here. 24 verse, then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man. There's people right now say, I can't live the same life. I just got a problem with my flesh. And I don't know. I ain't get saved until I'm ready until I can do. Listen, you can sit out there and try to deal with the sin and the flesh issue in your own strength. If you were able to, we would not need the cross and we would not need the blood. Amen. You can't do this. You need him. Amen. Mm-hmm. And when you get saved, you need the Holy Spirit, who is the strong man who goes in and cleans the house and also keeps the house clean. Amen. So here he is talking about, I knew you are a hard man, weeping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And that's the first thing you need to see there, is that he was operating in something other than faith. And I was afraid, and when it hit your talent in the ground, look, here's what is yours. In other words, I'm giving you back this talent. Please don't look down on me. I just didn't have the faith to do it. And look what the master says. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to deposit my money with the bankers. Huh? And at my coming, I will receive it back with interest. If you don't have the faith to step out on your own and do what God called you to do, and you sitting in somebody's house, make sure you're not sitting on that talent. Use it while you're there. And pray that God gives you the faith and the strength to step out on his word and on his promise to sustain you and do what God said to. But don't let him come back and find you sitting on that talent.
Listen.
See?
It went over with.
So the talent... So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Why they taking all my stuff? I ain't had nothing. Stop crying. You should have been doing something with it. Amen. Look right here. And here's the end of this. It says, for to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away.
Amen.
And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
You don't think you're getting away?
Yes. God, I just couldn't do it.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, guess what? When he comes, he's bringing his reward. And if he finds you on the wrong side of this parable, you already know what your reward is. It's not increase. Let me just give you that hint. Amen. God is trying to get us to move forward and do what we need to do. He didn't call us into this time and allow you to be born now, give you an assignment so you can sit back and try to take it apart with excuses. It's time for us to step up and step out on God's word and do what he's called us to do. All of creation, according to the word of God, is waiting in earnest expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God, Romans the 8th chapter, amen. Mm-hmm. We need to get down to doing the work he called us to do. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this word. Lord, we don't have enough time. We just have to give it to him as you give it to us. But Lord, I pray right now that someone who's hearing this will determine in their heart and in their mind that they're going to be attentive and obedient to your word and do what you called them to do. No more excuses. No more sitting back and doing all everything other, chasing after our personal desires. Lord, you'll give us what we desire when we do what you have called us to do. It is the blessing of obedience that you're trying to give to us. If we will follow your commandments from this day and do what you're saying, then you will give us to eat of the fat of the land. Obedience. Help us, Lord, then to do what you called us to do. I pray right now, Lord, that if anyone is not saved, that's listening, Lord, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, Lord, lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the assignment that you've given them in the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest now in the name of Jesus. According to your word, if we ask anything in your name, that you would do it, because it will bring glory to the Father. Our assignment and our purpose in being is to bring glory to the Father. So, Lord, we ask you to do it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.